Welcome to another edition of Uncensored with Penny Faree, proudly sponsored by IPSS Electronic Security.
Good morning, everyone. Today on Uncensored, we're diving into the Rocky Ridge Housing Development Project, a story that reflects a wider housing crisis across our region and KwaZulu-Natal. Back in March 2020, the KwaZulu-Natal Department of Human Settlements approved 44.7 million rand in funding for Kwadukuza Municipality to acquire an 86,000 hectare farm, Rocky Ridge Farm, located near Shawamoya and Kumbongo for housing development. 44.46 million was given to purchase the land and 250,000 rand was for the conveyancing fees. A report presented to Council in 2021 confirmed the land had the necessary infrastructure, roads, bulk water, electricity and sewage, making it feasible for large-scale housing, up to 3,000 homes and a light industrial zone. But 2022, frustrated families promised housing that never came, took matters into their own hands and began occupying the land, forming the Magubula informal settlement near Shawamoya. On 13 of May 2022, the Durban High Court granted KDM an interdict to carry out demolitions and evictions to protect the land reserved for the official project. Fast forward to August 24, residents returned to the Rocky Ridge site, once again clearing land and building shacks out of desperation. Early September saw the first structures completed, but these were quickly demolished by SAPS and the municipality security, ProSecure, with further demolitions on the 17th of September and 30th of October last year. Community leaders say the occupation stems from broken promises and the urgent need for housing. In this episode, I'm joined in studio by community leaders Pilani Pato and Bongeni Bidi, who have lived through these demolitions and continue to fight for their right to housing. Later, we'll connect by phone with Ishana Basiela, KZN MPL, an attorney representing the community and who is taking legal action against Kwadukuza Municipality and the Minister of Human Settlements, calling this situation a humanitarian crisis. The story shows how stalled housing projects, overcrowding and unmet promises can escalate into conflict, a situation familiar across KwaZulu-Natal and beyond. Pilani and Bongani, welcome to the show and thank you for joining me.
Welcome, welcome. Thank you very much, Penny, and humbly greeting the viewers at home.
Yeah, let's start from the beginning, Pilani. We'll start with you. Tell me about the first time you tried to occupy the land. What were your hopes that led you to that point?
Good morning to the listeners at home. Makepula, yes, that's a place that we live at.
Yeah.
It's in Shawamoya, next to Nkobongo and Shawamoya. And that place was bought for us as people because now in the township we are overcrowded.
Yeah.
And the houses that we live in Gabong and Chamoya, they are very small for a number of families that we have.
No, I mean, sometimes 11 people in one shack.
Exactly. Yeah. So that causes this conflict because now we can see that there is a land that is being bought for us, and then we took it to arms to invade or to get the land that is being bought for us in 2022. And the councillors that told us to go there are Alingwiti, our councillor. He said we must move there, and also John Pasa, the former councillor for Ward 23.
Okay. So, you know, you've spoken about demolitions. There was a lot of publication in the media about the actual demolitions that took place last year and how a lot of the families were evicted and actually were left without, you know, nothing. They were left with nothing. And there were even allegations of shots being fired. What happened on that particular time back in September and October when the security arrived? Can you describe for us the destruction? How many families were actually affected?
Close to 500 families.
So 500 families had moved onto that piece of land, put up their own shacks.
Yes, we
built their own
about 50 shacks.
Yeah.
We had about 50 shacks.
With 500 odd people.
Yes, staying there. And then when the prosecutor came, they demolished and they humiliated us.
In what way?
Burning everything that we have, even our IDs, even our monies, even our clothes. They burned them dig a hole, put everything in inside, put the petrol and then light it. Yeah. So it was very humiliating for us, and we feel that Prosecco and KDM, they degraded us so much.
And then after that happened, you went back again and built.
Yes.
Again.
Yes, because that land was bought for us. Yeah. We went there because that land, we know that it was bought for us. Yes.
And Mugani, I'm going to bring you in here. Can you just tell us what's life like for the community at the moment, just so we can understand the struggle that's carrying on at the moment, where residents have no choice but to occupy this land?
Thank you very much. I like to greet everyone who's listening out there. And I also want to thank for this prosperous opportunity in this morning. Actually, it is horrible. It is very bad for us, particular in this democratic dispensation. We will never think about this, that it might happen, particular to the black people or all those who are previously disadvantaged, that we will face such humiliation, as my brother Pilani once verbalized that. So it is horrible, such that the way we live in our society, we are just in a very small places, small houses, that automatically affect us physically, emotionally, and everything. So in such a way that we are unable even to think further, because the space we have, it limits us in everything. So it by nature, if you are very in a limited space, even the way you think, it will change, because we are what we see and we are what we heard. So it's very indeed very bad. So that affects particular young people
at
this juncture. We lack opportunities, because we have nothing actually we left, as they ban everything from us. Like people, like young learners who are supposed to register for matric, now they don't have IDs. It's a very long process from Home Affairs. Yeah. You know these processes that you have to go through. Particularly if your parent, they don't have that ID, and you don't have ID, even the birth certificate, it's quite difficult. So we have to go through a long process that need money, of which, since we do not have opportunities, there is no money for that. So it's quite indeed wrong, and it's quite indeed unacceptable at this juncture, particularly in the
And now tell me, after the evictions, where did all the people go?
They have to go back to the sharks, actually to Nkobongo, because we live in Nkobongo and Shamwa. It's about the gathering of those people.
Okay.
Then we try to extend ourselves, as we have heard about these councillors, because they used this land, Makepula, as their campaigning slogans. Like if say, we are going to build houses now and again.
Like a lot of politicians do.
Yes, they do that. So once we heard about that, the municipality bought the land for us. So we decided, in order to be confined in these areas, let us go there and build for ourselves.
Especially when it happened in 2020, this piece of land, the farm, which was a sugar farm prior to it becoming a project.
Yes.
It was 2020. That's when the transaction happened. We've got actually proof. We've got the papers to actually corroborate what is actually we're saying. And a feasibility study was tabled at council, which confirmed the land's potential for housing. Now, that report said the access roads was already in place, bulk water pipelines that ran through the property, they had electricity, which could be provided without any major constraints, and sanitation capacity had been upgraded with a new plant underway in Tinley Manor. So on paper, there were no real obstacles. The promise was clear. Rocky Ridge could ease the housing backlog for Nkobongo and the surrounding wards. So what did the municipality actually tell the community? Why were these delays after so many years with this land there?
That's the question we're asking ourselves when we're asking ourselves, why is it taking so long? Because the land was bought for people for a long time, and now we are sitting in these small homes, frustrated. Youth is frustrated, no privacy inside the house. So we took it to arms to take the land that you asked bought for us.
Yeah.
And to add on that, there was an incident whereby we were waiting for the mayor, Alingidi, the former mayor, actually. Yeah. At that time, he was supposed to come and explain to us why there are delays. Unfortunately, he sent the police to arrest some of us who were there waiting for the explanation, further explanation of what is happening, why there is so further delays in this project to be implemented. They decided to arrest. So that's the quandary we face currently.
Yeah. So Mbonyeni, when you all were arrested, What did the community demand? Was there any answers given? Has anything further been taken? Where are you at right now?
Actually, we're waiting on that in that particular space at Makepo. Yeah. We're waiting for that explanation because we already built our houses. Then they came to demolish, destroy everything. They banned everything. Then we went back there and built. And we now we demanded from the municipality because we write sort of a letter, if I'm not mistaken. Sorry. Yeah. So waiting. Then the mayor said, okay, I will come. Yeah. While we're waiting for the mayor, they said, no, these people, they must be arrested. Okay. Then they came to arrest us with no any explanation.
Okay. Yes. So, you know, right now, that's where the situation is. We're obviously going to be dialing in just now to someone who's actually representing the community. But what is your final message before we end here? To you, Polani, can we go first? What is the message that you want to put across?
I would say to the government, to the municipality, the people deserve to be respected. Please do the right thing. Give people what they deserve. They only need a dignity to be having a shelter. So please, if that land was bought for them, really, as the paper says, please give them the land so that they can build their houses and have a proper families and have a proper life moving forward.
Yeah, and Bongeni?
Thank you very much for this opportunity. Okay, actually, a very short message. I'm going to be biased because I'm a young person, so I have to stand and speak for young people in our community. As my brother once said, that we need privacy and dignity. And it's not that we are poor because we don't have money. We are poor because we don't have land and anything that can give us any opportunity. We lack opportunities as young people. So I like to invite and encourage young people, particular out there, to continue to struggle, to remain in revolution, because we have realized now that actually it is just a nominal democracy we are speaking of, because it's just a saying, no action. So in order for us to see action, actually it demands us, it requires us, our young energy, zeal and zest, the young people, to go out and proceed on the revolution so that we can able to attain a lot of opportunities that we are still unable to reach.
Yeah, well, we'll be going to be following the story. Thank you, Polani and Bongeni, BD. Thank you for joining us in the studio today. We're going to go over now, to Ishana Batsieli. She's a KZN MPL and attorney representing the community, and they are actually in litigation taking Kwadukusa Municipality and the Minister of Human Settlements to court. Morning, Ishana. Thank you for joining us.
Good morning.
You've called the situation a humanitarian crisis. Can you just explain to us what this means in terms, I mean, we've heard the plight from the community and what's going through. Can you expand on this, please?
Okay, I can. Penny, let me just correct you. I am a trained lawyer, but yes. I'm not the attorney in this matter, but I obviously look at it through a legal eye.
Yes.
So let me explain what we found. We read about this in the public domain.
Yeah, and it was in the media.
Yes, and then we went there. And when we went there, what we found is houses which were demolished, material lying all over, and the remains of materials which were burnt. And on interviewing people, we found that their belongings had been burnt. Clothes, bags, school uniforms, etc. And we've never seen this. It looked as if it was from the horror days of apartheid.
Yeah.
That led us then to the research. And when we looked at the research, they had obtained an eviction order sometime before. And when we look at the people who were cited in that eviction order, only one was common to the eviction and to the order. So in other words, there were people who were not named on that eviction order who were actually evicted. But it wasn't that they were evicted. They were dealt with violently. When looking at what the terms of the court order was, it did not include breaking people's houses. It did not include burning their belongings. And so that in itself was a problem, huge problem. Then secondly, when we went further into it, all evictions have to have, before an order is granted, there has to be a report before the court of alternative accommodation being made available. And in this case, In this case, there was no report that was before the court. So how the court order was granted, we're not sure, and that is one of the reasons why we brought in Philani Mabida. He's the attorney on record,
okay,
for him to dedicate his time and to look at it. And I think that is what led to the application to set aside that order as unlawful. It is also shocking to see that ProSecure was involved. It's also shocking to see that the SAPS knew about this, and I think that the residents of Magabula would tell you that they even watched what happened. And this is why we say that when ordinary people cannot turn to a neutral arm of the state for their protection, where you see policemen watching this kind of behavior, it is indeed shocking.
Yeah.
And it is something that I think that is between the applicants and the attorneys to pursue as a damages claim. And that will happen if it hasn't happened already. I think they're in the process of quantifying what damages took place.
Yeah.
There were people who lost their jobs as a result of this, and children who lost, you know, some time of going to school because they had to find the money to buy a new uniform.
Yeah. You know, the land was officially purchased for housing and funds were allocated for this project. In your view, where has the breakdown happened? You know, because I know Rocky Ridge is a microcosm of what's happening across the province. And how is this case more of systematic failure in housing delivery?
You know, everything in government happens according to plans. So there's something called the annual performance plan, as we all know. Things are planned for, things are budgeted for.
Yeah.
But the accomplishment of this is lacking. And we are yet to understand that. Well, what was the breakdown? Yeah. We know some of the things that happen generally, but generally funds are allocated from one project. Actually, it is the poorer people who suffer where funds are directed and reprioritized into development of infrastructure and other things into other areas. That's the one thing. What is also shocking is that the excessive price that was paid for yes, the land. So why was it inflated? It appears as if it doesn't appear. I mean, the evidence shows that it has been inflated. How does a property that would be valued
farm
at 7 million, gone to that, you know, 44 million.
Yeah. And yeah, what do you hope?
May I also say that what we know is that human settlements built a kind of sample house for the community. So there was a house built. People had a look at it. They approved it. They were told, the meetings were held with the councillors and the municipality, with the people from the community, from Shaimoya, saying to them, they understand that there's a population overflow. Here is the land. There is, you know, so many houses. I think it's 30,000, or I'm not sure how many houses that they had in line and planned to build to service the people, and then just nothing.
Yeah.
No explanation, no report back, no feedback. It just became a black hole.
Yeah,
I was going to say,
what do you hope, because we're wrapping up now, what do you hope this court case will achieve going forward? Not just for the people of Rocky Ridge, but for housing policy and accountability more broadly.
Firstly, we know that the court case will be successful, and further precedents need to be set up.
Yeah.
That you just don't go into an area to evict people. You need to have that report on what the housing conditions are like. Four generations have lived in Shaimoya. The overcrowding is serious. The lack of infrastructure, water, et cetera, is well known, well documented. What this case ought to do is to focus on what is lacking, on what the breakdowns are, and perhaps initiate investigations and criminal proceedings against what has taken place. It's the people have been let down. They've been they have really just been, you know, treated so badly. With no accountability. So clearly, accountable guidelines, accountable rules need to be set and continually reset and reviewed all the time, because it's happened before. It's not the first time that it's happened. And then, you know, there's some wonderful resolutions that there must be consequence management. People must face the consequences. Government officials must face the consequences of what they do. And then we find that nothing happens, as has happened in Kwadakuza.
Yeah.
Things are now into the Section 106 commission. Now, why take things that are clearly criminal, where there's a prima facie criminal case, where people should be just arrested and face the consequences of their wrongdoing? It now goes into a Section 106 inquiry. We know what happens. Documents disappear. Yeah. Witnesses, disappear. And the whole investigation process just gets tattered and does not result in government officials taking consequences.
And that's all about accountability. Yeah. Thank you so much, Ishana. Thank you for your time and your input. We're going to be following this case shortly, and we will continue monitoring it. Thank you for joining us. So there you have it, everyone. Rocky Ridge was meant to deliver 3,000 odd houses. Funding was approved. Land was bought. Feasibility studies confirmed it could be done. Yet years later, the site remains underdeveloped. Hundreds of families are still waiting for the promised houses. And this story is not only about Rocky Ridge. It speaks to a wider failure in housing delivery and the human cost of broken promises. The courts will soon have their say, but the question about accountability remains for all of us. I'm Penny Faree, and this has been Uncensored. Thank you for listening.
Uncensored with Penny Faree is proudly sponsored by IPSS Electronic Security. When it comes to security, don't leave it to chance. Trust the experts at IPSS Security. As the only CISA-approved security provider on the Dolphin Coast in all categories and the only local security company also accredited for CCTV off-site monitoring, with over 4 million rand invested in AI technology, they protect over 35 upmarket residential estates, spotting threats in real time. If action is needed, their rapid response and tactical teams, backed by the largest fleet in the region, is ready to act. For unmatched security, contact IPSS Security today at 0861 324 777. Your safety is their priority.